Well, I think there's a view among some in government here in Western Australia that you can't hold government for very long here in Western Australia unless you do pretty much what the big end of town, the mining industry and the fossil fuel industry say that you should be doing. I think that's a very unfortunate kind of understanding of the West Australian political landscape, and I would think and hope that we've actually got a much more significant role as individual constituents in this, as people who've got a future to look after and to think of our future generations, not just to abrogate the policy space and let the polluters dictate policy to government, but actually to get involved with that in a serious way. Whether enough West Australians choose to do that is, if you like, the big question. And, you know, as the Conservation Council, we do our best to lead those efforts. But it comes down to individuals getting involved with that, supporting that, donating, taking action, going and visiting their local politicians, turning out to events, turning out to rallies, putting up yard signs, doing all the things that promote and support action. If people aren't doing that, then the space again will be abrogated to the polluting industries.
Welcome and hello. Understory is back, fresh and alive, for you to connect with the essential environmental news from Western Australia's remarkable community radio broadcaster, RTRFM, the Sound Alternative. I'm Elizabeth Poe, and on this 19th day of June 2019, Understory investigates Western Australians' option in how to respond to the growing climate emergency. The United Kingdom's House of Commons has declared a climate emergency. So too has Ireland. And cities around the world are following suit, including Newcastle in New South Wales and Fremantle here in WA. Campaigners in this state have been underwhelmed by the state Labor government's performance. In March 2019, the state Environment Protection Authority withdrew its requirements for greenhouse gas controls in order, they say, to allow for further consultation. But it was following sharp criticism from the state Premier, Mark McGowan, who wants something more sympathetic to mining companies. With the state Labor governments having had 8 years in opposition and now 2 years in government, there's still no coordinated climate change plan. The State Environment Minister, Stephen Dawson, may be on a different planet than the one that is hurtling towards 3.5 degrees Celsius by the end of this century. Piers Versteken is the director of WA's Conservation Council, a strong, clear voice in the environmental overview space. Here he speaks with Understory's Adrian Glamorgan.
Piers, what do you think was the high point in the last 20 or 30 years of action on climate change at the state level?
Well, that's an interesting question and one that probably requires a little bit of reflection. But I do recall that under the Carpenter government, there was a policy put forward that I think for the first time in Western Australia actually set carbon pollution reduction targets and also set renewable energy targets. And there was a substantial amount of funding that was committed to that at the time. It was called the Premier's Climate Action Statement, and I was involved in putting that together working for government. Unfortunately, a Carpenter government was relatively short-lived, and there was a change of government. The new government set that policy aside completely and instead adopted a different approach, deferring responsibility to the Commonwealth and saying that climate change is a Commonwealth responsibility, not a state responsibility, so we don't really need to do anything serious here about reducing emissions. And the other plank to that policy was around adaptation. But even then, I think it would pretty obvious that it was inadequate. There was actually no committed resources or funding behind that adaptation work. And as a result, we've had our local government has largely had to pick up the bill in that adaptation space. And you're seeing this just most recently now with the work that has to be done around the Fremantle beaches to prevent erosion. I mean, that's just one example of so many costs to do with adaptation to climate change that are being incurred by local government. Of course, I think we must be 12 or maybe even 15 years on from that point. It's clearer now that we've got climate emergency. Our emissions have been increasing in the meantime, not just here in Western Australia, but globally. So the situation is actually far worse. And the science that informs or should inform governments around the world on what to do about this is now much stronger. We now know that we need to actually get to zero carbon by 2050 at the latest. That's what's been signed onto by all developed countries, with a few exceptions, under the Paris Agreement. And that is the policy framework that should inform all levels of government, not just Commonwealth government, but also state government and local government. And so we really need to the state government to be taking their role seriously in this space. And under the Australian Constitution, in the absence of Commonwealth action, it's actually the states that are responsible for the environment. It's the states that are responsible for the electricity sector and the energy sector, which is the largest polluter nationally. And here in Western Australia, it's the state government that's responsible for regulating the gas industry, the LNG sector, which is the largest polluter in Western Australia. So in actual fact, the state government, particularly when there's a lack of Commonwealth action, the state governments have a really critical role. Now, we've seen from the latest results that's just been released by the Commonwealth that every other state in Australia is actually either stabilised or reducing its emissions. Every other state in Australia has a carbon pollution reduction target, and there's action happening at a state level to affect that change and to start reducing emissions. Western Australia is an outlier. We're the only state without a carbon pollution reduction target. We're the only state which has rapidly growing emissions. And we know what the driver of that is. It's the LNG industry and one company in particular, Chevron, that's responsible now for 20 million tonnes of emissions every year from its two projects. Woodside, of course, is another big one. We know what the problem is. It's here in Western Australia, and we need to take some responsibility for that, not only as West Australians, but as the West Australian government, whose role it is to regulate that sector.
Now, Labor had 8 years in opposition, and it's 2 years into a four-year term. What overall approach has the state government announced or declared in terms of action on climate change?
We've actually seen very little so far from the state government in actually putting forward an agenda to address this issue. And I think partly out of frustration with that and out of frustration with a lack of action at the national level, we've seen the state EPA, and remember this is an EPA that's comprised of people that were appointed by the previous Liberal government. They are not climate activists. But they understand the science of this issue. And out of frustration at a state and national level, they've actually moved into this space and put out what they believe is a policy approach to dealing with it, which is to require these big emitters to actually offset their emissions, to get to net zero emissions. So we've seen very little from the political side of things, but we have seen the state EPA try and step into that space. The reaction to that from the polluting industries, from the LNG sector, you would think that the world was ending and the sky was falling in. It's been this sort of seismic reaction from that sector. And that's resulted in the state government distancing itself so far from the EPA's recommendations and then requiring the EPA to undertake further consultation. That consultation process is going to be occurring over the coming months, and we're certainly going to be encouraging members of the community and organisations across the state to support that policy approach and engage with the EPA to let their support be known. But we can't just leave it up to public servants and the EPA to deal with this issue. This is an issue that's fundamentally got to be dealt with by government. We've had some decisions taken at the state government level which I think have set us back. We've had the moratorium on gas fracking has been lifted, and some areas of the state have been opened up for potential gas fracking. That would be a carbon bomb and a climate disaster if that was allowed to go ahead. So that's not a helpful decision. We also saw during the election that Mark McGowan said that we would not have a renewable energy target for Western Australia. that was in response to a fear campaign that was being run by the Liberals at the time. So that, if you like, has been taken off the table as a policy response. But we still can have a robust policy for dealing with climate change at a state level, which sets targets for emission reduction and sets out a framework, a policy framework, for reducing emissions over time from each of the sectors of the economy. The government has said that it will have a climate change policy and that there'll be consultation on that in due course. But really, they've been sending mixed messages about what that's going to involve, how ambitious that's going to be, whether that's actually going to respond to the science and the community demand for climate action, or whether it's going to be another exercise in acquiescing to the big polluting industries and the influence that they've been able to bring to bear on our political system.
This is Understory with Piers Versteken, Director of the Conservation Council of Western Australia, speaking to Adrian Glamorgan. Piers mentions getting engaged with the environment conservation sector, in which case listeners may go online to add their voices to the EPA's greenhouse gas assessment, so our civil society voices can be heard, as well as industries. Speaking of industry, when we produce Understory as part of RTRFM's volunteer broadcasters, we notice who else is in the media landscape and notice the changes.
We've got a very difficult media landscape that we're operating with here in Western Australia. You would know that we've seen Seven West Media, who previously already owned the West Australian and the Sunday Times and a lot of regional newspapers and also Channel 7, and have got a particular agenda around blocking action on climate change. They've just now purchased all of the community newspapers as well. So we've basically got a wall-to-wall coverage of one particular media outlet that's very close to the gas industry, very close to the polluters, and has got an agenda to block action on climate change. But we can't, as community, as civil society, we just can't let them get away with succeeding in that respect. So we need to respond to that in all sorts of different and creative ways. And again, that depends on people supporting that action and through those various ways that I've mentioned, actually getting involved and actually supporting a response to that rather than just letting that happen and thinking that's just the way it is here in WA.
Well, you talked about going to see politicians. You must have had dealings with the Minister for Environment, Stephen Dawson. How focused is he on climate change? How knowledgeable or connecting is he to the issue of climate change, do you think?
Look, I think the Minister's been quite good in some areas of his portfolio. For example, he's taking some good action in regards to plastic waste and plastic pollution. But there's other areas of the environmental portfolio we would regard as more important, where action has been much more difficult and slow to come forward. I think it's the areas that require more systemic change where it's been more difficult. And again, we're seeing a tendency from the minister and other parts of the state government to say this is a Commonwealth responsibility and so, we don't need to do anything about it. That's just not good enough, particularly when we've got a Commonwealth government which we know is dominated by climate deniers. To say that it's a Commonwealth responsibility is essentially to hand it over and know that nothing's going to be done about it, when in actual fact, the Minister for the Environment is the responsible regulator of our largest polluters in this state. I think the Minister does realise that there are some real advantages to taking action to control pollution. I think he does realise that that would actually deliver a lot of jobs here in Western Australia. But I think he feels very hamstrung by the power that these industries hold over other parts of Cabinet and over the government in general. And the only way to respond to that, is by building public support around the minister to take stronger action and a level of support that they can have confidence in, that people are going to back that in when it comes to election time as well. We are citizens in a democracy, and it is our responsibility as citizens to hold our government to account and not to give up. In some respects, the government relies on the community just giving up, and we can't do that. And we're not going to be abrogating that space as the Conservation Council, but we can't do it just by ourselves. We need everyone to be involved in this and supporting this action.
And how urgent do you think climate change is?
Even getting our emissions down to zero, which is a huge task in itself, is not going to be sufficient to actually give us a safe climate. We actually need to be pulling carbon out of the atmosphere at a rate that we don't know how to do yet. And so that makes it an emergency. It's an emergency of global proportions and global scale, and we all need to be responding to that as an emergency. Everybody needs to be taking action at every level, not saying that it's an issue for the Commonwealth or for someone else. It's an issue for everybody at every level.
We are grateful to the Conservation Council and peers for their great work in demanding times. And a new response to the climate emergency that's bringing vibrancy and growing community is Extinction Rebellion. Next week, Understory will bring you more about their activities. But here's Ewan Buckley.
Around the world over the last 200 years, it's researched on some 300-odd events in history and found that non-violent, like explicitly non-violent, civil disobedience en masse is by far the most successful way that people have been able to make radical changes in their societies, and that every single time a movement was able to gather between 1 and 3.5% of a population's, they succeeded every single time. And so armed with that knowledge, people get a light bulb moment, and then the next question is how? And so we just run training in what non-violent civil disobedience is, people's rights and responsibilities under the law, ways to use those rights and responsibilities to engage in civil disobedience that disrupts the status quo and causes that political crisis which happened in the UK and forced the government to, I guess, come to terms and negotiate and declare the climate emergency. So we don't focus on actually planning those kind of disruptions and events. We focus on educating and training people to understand that they can have this role, and in fact, in history, all of the privileges that any of us have come from other people who have done exactly that same thing. Every Sunday, we're meeting at Replants in Fremantle from 12 o'clock. From 12 o'clock is the induction session for new people, so come on down. And we're also going to have music and food and, you know, social time. This Saturday at 1 p.m. and meet your fellow rebels and take part in our very first declaration of rebellion. That's going to be at 1 p.m. in the city. Meet at the cactuses there across the road from the train station in Forest Chase. Bring your colour and your vibrancy. We're going to have some speakers and a die-in in the city. And then we're going to finish the dance party to celebrate that it is only through our vibrancy and our arts and our creativity and our togetherness that we'll pull through this. And I really encourage people just to come and check it out, find out what it's about. It's a really interesting and a new way of doing activism, we feel. All young and old, new activists, old activists, anyone. You don't have to be an activist. You just need to have a sense of responsibility.
Tune in to Understory next Wednesday and online for more Extinction Rebellion in Perth. Thanks to Piers Versteken, Director of the Conservation Council of WA, and Understory's reporter, Adrian Glamorgan. I'm Elizabeth Poe. Google Understory blog for our past programs. Contact us through RTRFM. And keep tuning in, as there's a whole world more to explore on Understory.